welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to start with a passage out of Psalm 42, and this is a really profound passage of Scripture in the question that the psalmist asks. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you." This is such a great passage of Scripture. I think one of the first things that we find out when we just read this passage of Scripture right off the top is that it is scriptural. It's scriptural to talk to your own soul. You're feeling a certain way. You're heavied out. Something's happening. And the psalmist is talking to his soul. He's asking his soul a question because he's going through something, you know? He's very discouraged and heavy and troubled out. But yet he's reminding himself that even though it feels hopeless, it's not hopeless. In other words, he's like, he's going through something. We would say it this way. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I know God. I have experiences in God. And yet I'm feeling this. And so he's kind of in that spot, that situation. And basically what he's doing is he is saying, why are you so downcast? Why are you disquieted in me? And then he comes to a conclusion, I will put my hope in God. So in other words, it's like he's appealing to his own spiritual rationale when he's feeling down. And he's running the math, and it's like, according to my calculations, I can still hope in God here. Amen. It's like he's running some math that are apart from the way he's feeling at the moment. And this is something we all face. You know, we emotionally, we might feel like a wreck, and yet technically we know there is still hope in God. We know that, theologically. And what I wanted to do this morning, because as we face this inflection point, it's kind of like we know that we're not supposed to be led by our feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. And yet we need something in the middle of that emotional, you know, heaviness to be able to call us out. That ability to come out of that emotional state, if you will, to summons us out. And here we see the psalmist was able to do it by remembering some things. Now I'm deeply discouraged, present state, but I will remember you. In other words, there's a case you're making with your own soul that you've got cause to put your hope in God here. And so this morning, what I want us to do is we all come in this same inflection point as the psalmist does with different things and troubles and trials and things that we're going through. I want to give us some ammunition this morning as we're talking to our own soul in encouraging ourselves in the Lord. So the title of the message this morning is Hope. Oh, actually, it's called Three Phenomenal Reasons to Put Your Hope in God. All right? Three phenomenal reasons to put your hope in God. This is when you're talking to your own soul. This is when you're feeling in despair and you're calling yourself out to put your hope in God again. And in fact, you can see where this guy, he said, why are you disquieted within me? I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. In other words, this is a guy who's been there. He knows what it's like to be in the good, sweet spot with the Lord. He knows what that's like. But now he's deeply discouraged, okay? But he's going to call himself out. He is going to give himself cause to hope in God again. And so again, this morning, this is really kind of that, it's like I said, some ammunition as we're calling ourselves to put our hope in God. These are things that we need to remember. Like the psalmist was going to remember some things. These are some things that we need to remember, regardless of our emotional state, to put our hope in God. They're phenomenal reasons. All right, reason number one. All things are possible with God. That's a phenomenal reason. Matthew chapter 19, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now you talk about a little puzzle, a little problem. I mean, we play that Wordle every day, and you know, kind of some of these little puzzle games and things like that. Problem solving and whatnot. Here is the master problem solving puzzle of eternity. How do you put perfect, holy God, how do you reconcile him back to sinful man? With man, this is impossible. But God, with God, all things are possible. He made a way for us to be brought back together. It's what we're going to remember strongly this Friday when we observe Good Friday and what Jesus did for us and his suffering on the cross and what we're going to celebrate next Sunday at this time in Easter. He made a way. We didn't make that way. It was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He made a way. He's the master of reconciliation. He's the master of making a way. Of course, Jesus' name is the way, the truth, the life. You know, there's an old adage that says, where there's a will, there's a way. But really, when your hope is in God, there's always a way. That's ultimately what you got to realize. I'm putting my hope in the one with whom nothing is impossible. You know, our flesh will provide a false hope. Our flesh is a coward. Our flesh doesn't want to confront trouble. Our flesh wants to be distracted by trouble and go here, there, 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 never really quite getting to the root of things. And a lot of times in the distraction of the trouble, it creates more trouble. But the great thing about knowing that God, that nothing's impossible with God, is it gives you courage to be able to confront the full ugliness of whatever it is you're dealing with. Amen. The fullness of it. I can look it straight in the face with all the ugly stuff that you know, that other people don't know, but only you know. The fullness of it. And knowing things that all things are naked and open before him, he knows it too. And to know that that's possible for him. It might feel impossible for me. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing, but it's not impossible with him. These are just a really good reason to be able to put my hope in God. I'm putting my hope in one who can problem solve my situation. All things are possible with him. He's brilliant. He sees things. I right around this time, I like to pull out my, and you come to Door of Life, you've heard the analogy before, but a real life situation that happened with my dog, Sammy. All right, all of a sudden I hear Sammy barking, 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 and I go back. This was a previous place we used to live in. I go through the back door and into the backyard, and we've got kind of the stake out in the yard that his chain goes around, and we've got this one little utility kind of a pole out there, and so Sammy just happened to go, you know, around that one pole, and it's a big grassy yard with just that one pole. I mean, that's all there is, all right? But he happened to go around that pole, and he's trying to come in the house, and there's not enough length of chain to get in the house. So he's barking and barking and barking. And I'm going out there and I'm going, oh, wow. I mean, you know, you're just, Sam, just go around. I mean, just go that. You know, you're just thinking this is so simple, so basic. It is just this. All you got to do is this and you're free. You know, and he's just looking at me, you know, just deer in the headlights. This is too wonderful. This is too big to get out of right here, right now. And so I'm the waymaker, all right? He is looking unto me. And, you know, yeah, and so it's like the Lord reminded me of that. Now, as we're going through our situations, we got to remember who it is we're putting our hope in. Amen. All right? Yeah. this might look like a complicated situation to us, but this isn't God's first rodeo, right? I mean, we're looking unto him with our problem, and he's seen this before. He's delivered from this utility pole before. Whatever your utility pole is, okay? It could be a fear, it could be an addiction, it could be a problem, it could be a relationship issue, it could be whatever that is, all right? Whatever your dog pole issue is that's causing you to be overwhelmed, all right? And so I just know one thing at this point. I just know that he is able. He is able to deliver me. He knows what I'm going through. Everything's common to man with him. So as I'm putting my hope in him, I'm putting my hope in one who has a way out. He's got it. It's possible. It's not possible for me, but it's possible for him. That's why my hope isn't in me. My hope is in him. It takes us a while as we bang our heads trying to put our hope in our understanding. At some point, it's like, okay, the answer isn't in here. The answer is there. It's in him. So I'm going to, by faith, put my hope in him. But the cool thing of it is we got to realize, as again, we're able to take that good look at our stuff in its fullness, knowing that we don't have to be afraid, because whatever that thing is, it's possible for him to get through. There's another great promise here in Psalms, as the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Boy, it's one thing to know that God knows our stuff inside and out and has a solution. It's another thing to know he isn't afraid of our stuff. He will be with us in trouble. Whether it's a trouble of your own making or a trouble of somebody else's making, it's trouble. He'll be with you in it. I love that. And he doesn't just rescue you from it. That's not good enough for him. He doesn't just deliver you from trouble. He's going to honor you in the process. I'll tell you, these are some causes to put my hope in God. With him, all things are possible. He will be with you in trouble. And let me just say this too. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week. No condemnation. Some great songs this morning about no condemnation and just living free from that. We got to realize, too, when it comes to no condemnation, again, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ now cleanses my conscience from those dead works. It cleanses me from all unrighteousness, that I may serve the living God. It's important to understand that when I'm in that trouble, he will cleanse me, he will forgive me. You know, that I'm not going through this trouble with condemnation. I'm going through this trouble with him with me, with him for me, with him helping me through. So it's important to realize that. We don't have to go through this, as we're going through this with him, we're going through it with a clear conscience. In other words, no condemnation is not a reward for finally getting out of this thing. That's where my reward is for no condemnation. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses my conscience from those dead works so I can serve the living God. This is not a reward for my deliverance. I'm going to be delivered and then I'm going to not be condemned. Let me put it this way. If you are condemned right now, the Bible says you have no confidence toward God. If your heart condemns you, you have no confidence toward God. Like we said last week, a little condemnation or a lot of condemnation, there's not really much difference. Ultimately, it condemns you and steals your confidence toward God. But there's a huge difference between just a little condemnation and no condemnation. Because no condemnation gives you confidence toward God. When you're in this place, he's going to bring you back, praise God, to that place. So he's not afraid of your stuff. Also, you know, we'll say this too, as we're kind of dealing with, you got your thing, you got your stuff, and you know what your thing is, you know what your stuff is. Here's a great example of when Abraham was visited by some messengers from God. Because they had a situation. And the messenger said this, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah, this is 1 year time, will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Then the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Another profound question. I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Boy, he just makes her have to go there in her mind. And this is kind of where you can say, oh, okay, all things are possible in all that situation. But we look at our situation, and we can have a little Sarah laugh. Huh, you know, all the things. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He's challenging. He's challenging even your situation, all the nth degrees, all the layers, the roots, the years, the all that stuff. And he just says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Are you laughing still? The Lord says, is there anything too hard for me? In other words, God loves this. He loves when we put our hope in him. He wants to get us around that pole. That's his heart's desire. So it's important to realize, again, that no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, I'm telling you what, there's just a peace that comes from knowing, again, that he knows every detail of your situation, even better than you do. And he still says, let's go. All things are possible with me. That's the one I'm putting my hope in. It's a great reason, as I'm arguing with my soul, to put my hope in God. Here's another phenomenal reason to put your hope in God. You can do all things. You can do all things through Christ. We know the verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You know, sometimes when you get that declaration of hope, you can think, well, you know, God may be able to do all things, but as long as I'm involved in this hope equation, it's bound to fail. I trust God's end of this thing. He's got an answer, but it's the me-word side of this thing. How can I have real hope in God when I'm involved? How can I have, you know, hope in God when part of the deliverance involves me? You know, he's together with me in trouble. That's great. I believe he's going to do it right. But what about me? How can I have... This is where there's such a great, powerful promise that we have in him. When your trust is in him, you can do all things who strengthens you. He's going to give you the strength that you need. He's going to show you basically, as you're trusting him, he's going to strengthen you and simply show you what to do next. In other words, he's not going to solve the whole problem. He's just going to show you what to do next. And the same spirit that strengthens you has that supernatural ability to show you what to do next. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Not in your own strength. For it is God who all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. I'm not trying to problem solve the whole thing. I just want to know what to do next, because there will be an anointing in that. And I found out too that when I came across that situation again, I'm Sammy here, he's around the pole, and he's stuck and he has no idea. I mean, I could have drawn out a diagram with arrows and put it in front of him. He would have looked down at there for a split second and looked right back up at me. That would have been too wonderful for his mind to comprehend. So what I had to do, you know, is, you know, Sam is around that pole, you know, so if that's the pole right there, and I got to get him around that way, all I did was I would basically just get kind of close to him in the direction he needs to go and just say, come here, Sammy boy, come on, boy, you're a good boy. And he'd come up, he'd be, you know, waggling his tail and come to my feet and say, good boy. Then I'd come over here, come here, Sammy, you can do it, but oh, you're a good boy. And he'd come and do that. And I would just do it again. Come here, boy. And I would just little step by step, and I got him up to the house. And like I said, he's like, wow, the master, the way maker. He figured it out. You know? I'm amazing. Well, again, let's take that analogy and just move it again from man to dog to God to man, all right? And realize that it's the same way. As God is delivering you, I don't have to have strength to do everything. All I need strength to do is that next thing God shows me to do. He's working it in me already. What is that next thing? What is that next step? You know, sometimes it can be just you know that you know. But when it comes from this, it's a whole different perspective. All of a sudden, God will say, man, there's an influence that you just need to cut off. You can't serve two masters. It's distracting you. You have a double gaze. If your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. But if your eye, you know, but otherwise your whole body's going to be full of darkness. I got a double gaze. I'm looking unto Jesus, but I'm looking unto something else. And God will say, cut out that gaze. It's distracting you. But it's not a, you shouldn't do that. No, this is part of something bigger. This is part of a deliverance thing where you're getting around something. It's a whole different context here. You say, no, don't cut that off. Cut that off. You don't need that. You don't need that. Just me. You just need me. In fact, that next step, he might just say, let's just carve out a little time. All right? This isn't your salvation. You're not saved by this. You're getting delivered here. He's showing you step by step how to come out of something. And this is personal. This isn't, again, on a preacher on a Sunday morning telling you what to do. This is you listening to the Holy Spirit as he's showing you what to do. There's an anointing on something he showed you. You might have tried to stop that thing for 20 years and you never could. But God is showing you by revelation, okay, now it's time to cut that off. And it takes on a whole different connotation. It's different. Because there's an anointing on it as you're putting your hope in God and now you're working with him. You know, it's different. It could be to just take some time and worship. I'm going to sing my way out of the valley. I'm going to shout my way out. You know, there might be some time where God will just call you to just spend some time worshiping in the presence of God. It could be a power, you know, there's just so many different ways he might just put on your heart, call that person. Listen to that message. Read that book. You got it 2 years ago by my prompting. All right. Let's pick that thing up and read it now. Because there's a step in there I have for you. There's different ways that God is going to step you around that thing. All right? And so you're part of the equation, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, which includes that next step. And here again, this is where it's important to have no condemnation. I have no condemnation. Am I a work in progress? Yes. Am I out of my trouble? No. But can I still have no condemnation? Yes. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus, and his blood has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. It's not just that I confessed it. I received the forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. The cleansing doesn't happen in just the confessing of sin. The cleansing happens in the receiving of the forgiveness that is promised. He's faithful and just. Those are strong words when it's connected to your confession of sin. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. My trust is in his faithfulness and his justice, and I receive that forgiveness, that cleansing from all unrighteousness. Praise God. And I go on with questions on how to get around, things I'm still overcoming, but I'm going with a clear conscience. My conscience isn't condemning me so I can hear from God. I'll tell you what, when you begin to live with no condemnation, you like your odds better. You realize the odds aren't in you anymore, in your ability. Your odds are in him. Amen. He keeps taking me back. I keep receiving. I'm going back, and I'm going. I'm trusting him. All I know is I'm following him. Here, boy. Here, Ed. Yes. Yes, Lord. Here I come. You know? And even if I go back in another direction, he'll say, no. Come in here. Over here. Come here. Okay, here we go. Even if we have to retrace some steps. He's a good shepherd. Right? He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. You can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. There's no condemnation. There's a boldness and a confidence that you have just to hear from God. Yeah, God, it's going to be, in fact, you're almost feeling like you're on the outside saying, this is going to be really cool to see how God does this. I'm just doing this step. I don't know the big picture yet, But I know that I got the strength in what I need to do that, whatever that is, whatever that next step is. And so, you know, you'll find out as he's giving you these little steps, it's like he's making straight paths for your feet. So that which is lame may not be, that which is dislocated may not be lame, may not be dislocated, but rather healed. And as you're taking these little steps, you find it's a straight path of healing. And you're not only getting around that situation, but you're kind of coming through some other stuff along the way. A little step by step, but your trust is in God. Your hope is in him. I love this passage. I believe this is the Passion out of Ephesians. It says, when I think of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. It really isn't by might. It isn't by power. It is by the Spirit that I'm doing the next step. That's it. God does things in a way that really helps to take the pressure off of us. And I realize I'm not the weakest link here anymore. I'm just going to do what God shows me to do. I'm going to keep it really, really basic, really, really simple. And then finally, the last aspect of a really good reason you can put your hope in God is because God loves you. Now, if that's a cliche, that's not a good reason to put your hope in God. Clichés do very little. They might give you an emotional boost, but this is not a cliché. This is a fact. This is a fact, and this is the thing that I got to get stirred up and remember. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There is something about when you're talking to your soul and you're talking yourself into putting your hope in God again that you got to remind yourself of this. That, yeah, there's going to be some steps of faith ahead of me. I know there's going to be some steps of faith ahead of me. But who is it that's giving me these steps? The one who loved me before time began. He genuinely loves you. No matter what it is he's calling you to do, no matter what that little thing might look like, God loves me. He really cares about me. In fact, my ability to even contemplate whether I should put my hope in him is evidence that he really loves me. If he didn't really love me, I wouldn't even have the choice to contemplate. The fact that I'm having this rational argument about whether I'm going to give him the cold shoulder or whether I'm going to trust him, I have that choice because he first loved me. My love for him is a choice, but it's based on the fact he first loved me. Again, you're talking to your soul. You're talking yourself into putting your hope in God again. He loves me. He's sticking with me. And there is something about that truth. There is something about that truth that comes by revelation. In other words, when Sam was out there barking and barking and barking, he was believing something while he was barking. Because when I came to that door and looked at him, he stopped barking. His bark accomplished what it was supposed to do. He got my attention. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, when he barked, he was believing. First of all, he's saying, I don't like this. This is frustrating. And I know my master, the Waymaker, he won't like me here either. And I believe that he's able to get me out of this because he feeds me, he cares for me, he's my master. I believe that about him. I don't just know it, I believe it. There's a believing in the Lord. There's something about Sam that caused him to bark for me because he believed that I would care for him. He believed I loved him. He believed I wanted him to get out of that. He believed that to get my attention so that I could help him out. And to the truth be told, it wasn't the first time. And truth be told, it's not the first time for us either. So we got some history. What? Isn't it? Experience produces hope. That's true. He's faithful. He'll get me out of this again. And so Sam's barking. He knows that. And I'm just, you know, and he trusts that. He believes in. What does believing the love mean? It means believing things can be different than they've always been. Things can be different. They don't have to stay the same. I don't have to stay here forever. I'm in trouble. He's with me, and he's going to deliver me and honor me. He's going to deliver me from this. Things can change. Things can be healed. Things can be restored. Things can be better. Things can be whole again. I believe the love of God. I believe as I'm barking, as I'm calling out, that his heart, he loves me. There's a certain song that just, it stirs me. It was a Keith Green song when it's called When Your Love Broke Through. It says, it's like waking up from the longest dream. How real it seemed until your love broke through. I've been lost in a fantasy that blinded me until your love broke through. Because as you're doing this and you want to be free and you want to be delivered and you put your hope in him and you call upon his name and he's giving you these steps, you realize something. He loves me. He is for me. He loves me. All of a sudden, you got when you get no condemnation working and the revelation, he loves me. That revelation, again, cliche isn't going to do much for you. But the revelation, that's why I love that song. Give us a fresh revelation, Jesus. Help us to see you. Help us to see you fresh, your love, that first love, appreciation for who he is and what he has done for us. So there is a love, a revelation. And when you see that, again, too, what's the heart that Jesus gives us? He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Listen to this. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a great reason. Wow. This is a demonstration of love. He is patient and he is kind with us. Like I say, you know, the kind of the Sammy thing, he is doing that with us in a way that is gentle and lowly in heart. The wisdom that's from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, to hear, it's full of mercy, it's full of good fruits, and it's sown in peace. There is a love of God that comes through. It's, okay, Lord, we'll do this. It's like, okay, Ed, I love you. I love you, Lord. Praise God. All of a sudden, the issue becomes very secondary. There's a deliverance and there's an honoring in the way he delivers. There is a joy of the Lord. There is not only just coming out, but he puts something in you to give out, to bless, to shine for his kingdom, for his glory. And then finally, Romans 8. Romans 8 is full. I just hit a few high points. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, when you're talking to your soul, and you're trying to convince yourself to put hope in God again, you got to remember the one who you're putting your hope in. Whatever that thing is that's bothering you, there's one thing that's true about that thing. It can't separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Whatever that situation, again, I don't care how many years, tentacles, layers, however you want to quantify it, label it, it can't separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. In other words, yeah, he wants to see you free. Yeah, I wanted to get Sam around that pole, you know, but ultimately not just to get him around the pole, but so he could come in the house and we can enjoy and play with them and, you know, have fun little dog things with kids and all that stuff to enjoy him. God loves you. He enjoys you. Yes, he wants to see you set free, but he wants to enjoy your relationship that you have with him, to love him. I mean, there's bigger things going on. Yeah, he's setting you free, but he's setting you free from glory to glory. He's got stuff. He's setting you free from things to do things, to live, to co-labor with him for the good works he's ordained you to walk in, praise God. So I don't be stuck around that pole, you know, but what am I talking about this morning? I'm simply talking about three phenomenal reasons to put your hope in God. You're at that inflection point. You got to talk yourself. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to talk yourself into putting your hope in God again. Remember these things. With God, all things are possible. The one thing that's true about your situation, God has seen it, done it. He knows the way through it. You can do all things through Christ. What does that mean? You're not going to blow the whole thing up. Not at all. When you put your hope in God, he's going to work in you to will and to do. He'll just show you one step at a time. There will be an anointing on that step. It will be a rhema word. It'll be something that God shows you to do. And that thing is going to begin to unlock step by step by step and bring you into that full, rich, free place. And in the process, you remember, this is all happening because God loves me. In other words, you got choices. You can put your hope in a lot of different things or people or situation. There's godly counsel. There's ungodly counsel. Godly counsel includes God, the Word of God. Ungodly counsel excludes God. It tries to understand the world and the universe that we live in apart from the Creator. And it comes up with a lot of goofy stuff, as we've been able to see here in recent days. We need God. We've got godly counsel, and he loves us. Okay, I'm walking by faith. Yeah, it's trust, but it's trust in someone who loves me. Whatever that next step is, it's coming from a heart of love, and I can trust that. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can put our hope in you. We can talk to our soul. We can talk ourselves into trust in you, putting our hope in you again, no matter how deep and discouraged we may be now, I will praise him again. I will get back to that place of trusting you again. Father, we just thank you that you are faithful. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I put my hope in you. I remind myself all things are possible with you. You know my situation better than I do. And you're not afraid of it. You say, let's go. I got this. I say, yes, Lord. I put it in your hands. And I know that I can do all things. I can take that next step that you show me. There's an anointing on that step. There's deliverance in that step. There's healing in that step. There's traction in that step. Because you love me, I trust you. Thank you for staying with me, for not letting anything come between me and you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. My trust is in you. My hope is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, like I said, this is stuff that we all walk through. A lot of times it's not knowing, you know, the right Bible verse or theology or things about God. I mean, we're learning, we're growing as we go, but a lot of times we're feeling that downcast, heavy, anxiety, depression, state. And I like that actually in that Psalm 42, it says, deep calls on the deep, under those turbulence in those waters. You sense the Spirit drawing you. But these are just things to remind yourself. Man, these things are true always for me under any situation, under any circumstance. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead, receive that, and be encouraged and just let the Spirit of God, again, direct your heart to trusting Him. Amen. Praise God.